The last, the resurrected words of Jesus. And one of the first words that he spoke in John chapter 20 was, "Peace be with you." In the last 4 weeks, we haven't gotten past that phrase. We'll get past that, but the next thing he says again will be, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." So I'm hoping that Crawfish Boil Day, we'll be talking about a sent people, sent by God as Jesus was sent. But in the meantime, I want to continue this thought on being anxious for nothing and receiving the peace of God. Anxious for nothing, peace about everything. And you know, I know that we've been talking about this, but I know that there's been some things in your life, even this week, that has caused anxiety. One of those things that happened was Tuesday. Do you remember Tuesday around here? Do you remember Tuesday around here? How many of you remember Tuesday around here, right? I mean, there was this massive storm coming our way. That storm was going to be 6 hours. That storm was going to have grape-sized hail. Well, that's watermelon. Okay, grapefruit. Yeah, okay, what did I say? Oh, yeah. Well, they weren't even grape-sized, were they, that day? I mean, and all of a sudden, there was just this panic through the region. An absolute total panic. And we were batching down. Now listen, we talked about last week about being concerned, but not being concerned to the point that we're just so distracted that we're not even thinking right. But I want to tell you, the whole region was up in arms, right? And it was going to start at 3. And it was going to last. Well, it didn't come out 3. Schools dismissed, right? I'm not saying that that's not a bad thing. But I'm just saying we were anxious. Y'all were worried. Y'all were anxious, all right? I mean, that's just the bottom line of this week. I mean, when we've been talking about these principles of being anxious for nothing, we have an illustration before us this past week. We were scared to death. And I want to say something, that most fear, most worry, most anxiety comes from something that is ultimately false. It's a threat. And it's a threat of loss. Let me ask you a question. What were you fearing this week? Were you fearing that you were going to die? Were you going to fear that you got one of those grapefruit-sized hail on your head? That it's going to destroy your property? What were we fearing that day? That we would be incapacitated? I mean, these are the things that go through our minds. These are the things that go through our heart. Again, I want you to hear me, please. I grew up in New Orleans. When the storms were coming, we got out. Not saying that you don't do proper things. Not saying that you're concerned. But I'm just saying, we as believers in Christ, we don't have any reason to wring our hands. Even when bad things might be happening to us. Because we know that He is Lord. And He is our Lord. And you know what I want to do? I want to just think about these things, these threats that come our way. And I want to just say, am I responding in such a way that my life says, He is Lord. He is in control. Oh, I'm looking at the weather. I'm looking at some things. But let me tell you, He's in control. So I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret. I heard this study this week. Really interesting study. You know, it's like this. Well, let me just say this. You remember what happened Tuesday night? 9 o'clock at my house. About 10 o'clock it was over. A little wind, a little rain. I mean, it wasn't even what? I think it was like 3/4 of an inch. I got more rain the last time that came through. And I realized something. Unless you're an Old Testament prophet, you don't know anything about tomorrow. Much less this afternoon. Because it can change in a heartbeat, in a moment. And whether it's a diagnosis, or whether it's this pending doom of a lost job and another layoff, Or whether it's just this doom and gloom that we hear all the time, and we're about to go into bankruptcy, or we're getting ready to go into national bankruptcy, or we're getting to go into the recession, and there's going to be a depression, and there's going to be an EMP, and there's going to be this, and there's going to be that, and we wring our hands. And we miss God in the moment. I tell you, I come from a place in my heart as a child that I feared these kinds of things. Fretted things like, I hope my parents don't die while I'm young. Used to think that all the time. The storms would come, we would be pretty scared. Sometimes we didn't leave, sometimes we did, and the times that we stayed were the times we wish we had left, and the times we left, we wish we'd have stayed. Because nobody knows. Do they? Nobody knows. Now, I was reading a study that was done at Cornell University. And really interesting study. They got this group of people together, and they talked about all the things that these folks feared and how they never, ever really materialized. And about 85% of the things that the participants worried and feared, it never happened. And then the 15% that did happen, 79% of the questions saw that they could handle the difficulty better than they thought, or that the trial taught them a lesson that was worth the difficulty. Did you hear that? 85% of the things that these folks worried about never happened. And the 15% that did, you know what? They thought, well, you know what? This isn't really a bad thing. We can get through it, and God's teaching us some things through the trial. So we're grateful for the presence of God in our lives. There's a guy, he's a French Renaissance guy. Some guy named Michel de Montaigne, 500 years ago. This is what he says. He said, "My life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which never happened." Yeah, half of you didn't get that. I'll do it again. Okay. "My life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which has never happened." That's you and me. I mean, this is 500 years ago. The assumption that calamity is going to happen, that calamity is coming. Yes, we have a concern. Yes, there's some prepared things that we do, but we do not fret. And we have this remedy to all this. And it's found in the choice to dispute the things that are not necessarily true. It may not be true. When you look at this passage of Scripture, in Philippians chapter 4, it says this, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I'll say rejoice. "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near." And we talked last week, listen, when you decide to rejoice, to let your gentle spirit be known to all men, and then to know that God is near, you've positioned yourself with these three foundational keys that I'm going to tell you can push you and lead you through life at a settled pace in your heart and your mind. Would you like that? I'd like that. I'd like that in the midst of an uncertain word, because that word is just uncertain. It's a joyful heart where I'm rejoicing in the Lord always, and I'm letting my gentle spirit be known to all men, and I'm just believing that the Lord is near. And then we talked about anxious for nothing. "But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And we talked about last week these three elements of a great, great request. It's in the midst of prayer that we're already having an ongoing conversation with God. We petition what we desire. We petition what we'd like to see God do. And then we thank God in the midst of it. A great three-prong approach to letting your requests be made known to God. And then the promise was this: "The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." The promise is that when you do these things, that the peace of God will guard you through life's most difficult times, through life's most uncertainties. Now, I want you to look at this next passage. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, then let your mind dwell on these things. So when we're moving through trial and moving through uncertainty, maybe hardship, maybe tribulation, maybe persecution, maybe struggle, he is saying, listen, don't go there in your mind. Now that's not ignoring the problem. It's not putting your mind in the sand like an ostrich. No, there's just something that he's saying to do. Listen, quit your thinking that just rules and reigns on lies or things that may not be true and the bad, and place up upon the truth and that which is good. Truth. And the truth is Jesus. You know, if you've ever done a study about the truth and you go through the scripture, oftentimes he'll talk about the lie. Romans chapter 1, they exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped the creature rather than the creator. That's a verse in Romans. They exchanged the truth of God and exchanged it for the lie. And they worshiped something other than God. Of course, they're talking about the fall. He's talking about the fall when Adam and Eve fell. And Adam and Eve listened to the voice of the enemy, and they decided that they were not going to believe the truth that what God had already told them, that the wages of sin is death. And that's what the enemy does. The enemy says, hey, that's not right. Matter of fact, I just want you to know, if you eat of that fruit, you'll be like God. God's just trying to keep something away from you. You won't die. You won't die. No darkness will come. Well, listen, we know something very different than that. We know that the enemy lied, we exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and began to believe what was false. You know, it's interesting because in John chapter 8, when Jesus is talking to a few religious folks that, quote, came to believe in him. You know what he ultimately said? He said, listen, the truth will make you, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Do you remember that? Y'all all know that. I mean, that's a really common phrase in culture taken from the Bible. The truth will set you free. Well, what kind of truth are we talking about? We're talking about what God says. What God says will set you apart from the world. What God says and what God promises, when we embrace what he says, that will bring the freedom of God in your life and my life. But what happens is we listen to the lies of the enemy. And it's really interesting what he says to these, quote, Jews that came to believe him. He said, you are of your father, the devil, who has never stood in the truth. Because he is a liar. Whenever he speaks the lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of the lie. The father of it is what it says. The father of the lie. In other words, you can believe what you want to believe, live the way you want to live, and it's all going to be okay. And I just want to say this. It's really important. Every lie that I hear about myself or about you or about my neighbor or about my circumstances comes from the main root, the lie. That makes him the father of lies. And I don't know about you, but I know, just as I've quoted this study, how many times I have listened to another voice instead of God's voice. And to begin to listen and begin to meditate on what is truly true and what is really false. And really, until you get to your future, which might be 10 minutes from now, you might have a pretty good idea what the next 10 minutes is going to like. But the next 30, the next 24 hours, you don't know anything. We don't. We're not promised another day, another hour. We're not. We don't know what kind of circumstances that are going to come our way. And then we don't. And then when those circumstances come, please don't say, "Oh, this is going to be horrible. This is going to be disastrous." How do you know that? Let me tell you what we do know in Jesus. That our God is victor. He conquers. And all of us in this room who know Him as Lord and Savior will conquer with Him. The question is, will you believe that or will you believe the lie? That says the next step is going to be bad. The next thing is going to be bad. Well, you know what? Things might be crumbling around you. But as far as your soul is concerned, if you're in Jesus, we sang it last week, it ought to be well with your soul. Well with your soul. Why? Because we believe the Word of God. We set our mind on the truth and life. We don't set our mind on lies and death. And you can look at this in so many different ways. You know, the question we ask the enemy says, "Your past hasn't been dealt with." Oh, yes, it has been dealt with if you're in Christ. It's been dealt by the blood of Jesus. Some of you had this doubt of your salvation when God sealed it and spoke to you and you gave your heart to Him. And you worry and you fear after you've received Christ, after fruits come from your life, that you're still scared that you're going to wake up in hell when you die. The truth sets you free. And what God says is settled in the heavens. And the question is will we line up to what the truth of God says? We ask questions, does God really provide for me? Let me tell you, you say, "Well, I don't really ask that question." You do when you're grumbling and complaining about the stuff that's going on in our lives. When I grumble and complain about my lack or my thought that it's lack or because it didn't work out my way, I'm really questioning God's character. "God, do you really care for me?" Yes, He cares for you. Yes. But yet we worry, we fret because we put our eyes on the stuff and not on the giver. Does God have the best for me? Yes. Is God faithful? Yes. He does. He provides resources. He's provided life. He's provided peace. Will this relationship ever change or will it just be rotten until I die? How many times have we asked that question? And I'm saying this, listen, let's listen to what God is saying. Let's first of all take our eyes off of that which we don't know about our future, whether it is true or false, and just begin to meditate on the truth. And the best way to do that is open your Bible, go to Psalms, go to Proverbs, go to wherever. Just, you know what? Some people go like this and do that. You know, I do that sometimes. And you know what? It can be kind of effective. Open my Bible. You know why? Because every word's the Word of God. That's why. I have this confidence. Some kind of don't know where to read. And how many times have you opened up, just opened up, and there it was, the truth. And you listened to it and you believed it. And you made a decision. You made a contractual decision with God in that moment to believe it. And the peace of God came. Instead of thinking about all the lies and all the negative stuff and all the things that bring death, why don't we start thinking more about the things that bring life? Because He says this. He says, listen, if you'll do this, if you'll set your mind on these things, you figure out from Scripture what's true, the things that are honorable, the people that are honorable, the things that are righteous, the thing that is morally pure, the lovely stuff of this life that goes on in your life every day. Whatever has got a good reputation, anything that's excellent, anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Tuesday night, we thought it was coming at 3, then it said 4, then it said 5, then it said 6, then it said 7, then it said 8, and then it came around 9, saw a little bit of it, and went on the back porch, and I got to watch the display of God. Looking to the west with all the lightning and all the thunder. And we have that ability. We live on a hill, and so we've seen clouds come, we've seen clouds go, we've seen a cloud come and dump hail. But I would just tell you something. A lot of times we miss in the moment what God is really up to. And I want to tell you, before the big rain came, I went into the bed and I fell asleep and went to sleep. And then woke up a little bit later, and I got to thinking about, man, if I was 22, back when I was 22, if this thing would have happened, I wouldn't have gotten outside. I'd have closed the curtains. Honestly, closed the curtains and not even want to look. That's what fear does. But I looked. And I want to tell you, I enjoyed what I saw. And I had a worship experience on my back porch because of the awesome nature of God and what who He is and how He is in control. Plus, everything I got's insured. And I don't mean just in the physical sense. Because we got a God who will make up for what the locusts eat. Amen? He'll make it up what the locusts have eaten. What rot has done, He'll make it up. Things that you've done that you and I deserve, God still makes up for the lost time, for the stuff that was destroyed, for the stuff that went away. God makes it up for you in terms of spiritual and emotional, and yes, sometimes, most of the time, in physical life as we continue to move on to do what God's called us to do. Quit listening to the lies. Meditate on the truth. Now, I don't know the forecast for the next 10 days. But I want to tell you this. I want to ask that you'd remember this message. And ask God, Lord, I want to do some things different here. I want to think upon the things that are lovely right now. The things that are right now. I mean, I had one of my kids' family with us that night. And I didn't miss my grandkids that night. Because I was walking in fear. No, I would have missed them. And I didn't. And you don't have to miss Him in the midst of anything. Listen, we've had damage and storms. All of us have to some form or fashion. But I would tell you, it doesn't happen often. It happens less than it does more. And these are the kinds of things that we need to understand. These are the kinds of things that we need to put in practice. So quit defaulting to defeating negative, uninspiring thoughts and words. And you know, instead, whatever happens, we believe God's going to work it out. We're going to die. No, in Christ, we live. And yes, one day we'll all die. But because Christ is in us, we will live forever. We'll just get there quicker than we thought. Is that okay? It ought to be okay. It ought to be okay. So what Paul is saying, listen, you know, I want to go to the verse 9. Watch what he says here. So the first thing of these two verses are, set your mind on truth and good, not lies and bad, okay? But second, practice the things you see in others who have found peace. But notice what he says here. The things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Isn't that kind of a bold statement? Hey, listen, all these things I'm telling you to do to get peace, the last thing I'm saying, look at me. Look at me. Philippian church, you know how this church came to be. You know the tribulation. You know the hardship of how this church, Philippi, came to be. And so he's saying, listen, follow my example in these things. Follow my example. And then he says, the peace of God will be with you. So I set my mind on these things that God tells me to set my mind on, the good, the honorable, the eternal is what he's talking about. Get my eyes off the temple and then find somebody, and even if it means Paul or Jesus in Scripture, then the things that you've learned, you've received and heard and seen, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. And I want to ask the question, what things? Well, I want you to go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Great passage of scripture about the founding of Philippi. And I'm going to look at verses 6 through 12, okay, for the first part. And here's what Paul did. This is what Paul practiced, okay, in the midst of trial, in the midst of struggle, in the midst of the journey. Let me tell you what the first thing he did. He always depended on the Holy Spirit. Always, always depended on the Holy Spirit. He followed the Holy Spirit, not his flesh. Not what he thought, not what he understood, but what the Spirit of God was telling him. And I don't know about you, but I know in my own life, I want to hear more and more about what the Holy Spirit has to say in my day-to-day life than I've ever wanted, than I've ever desired. What is the Spirit of God saying to me in this moment and in this time? Now, when you look at this passage of Scripture, the founding of Philippi, they're on a missionary journey. And this is what it says in verse 6. They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. We're going to go this way because God said, don't go that way. Okay? What is he doing? He's being led by the Spirit. He's being led by the Spirit of God. And so the Bible says, and after they came to Mysia, they were trying to get into Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And then passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing appealing to them and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when he'd seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God has called us to preach the gospel to them. Let me tell you something about these three things. Be careful of putting God in a box. You notice he says the first thing? The Holy Spirit said no. The second thing that came along was what? The Spirit of Jesus. Why didn't he say it the way he did the first time? He didn't. And then he has a vision. Then he has a dream. And you know, it doesn't say that specifically that in the scripture that the Holy Spirit told them. They saw the vision and they concluded that this is where God was leading them. Confident that he'd shut the door if it wasn't. Confident that the Spirit of God say, that vision is from the enemy. Could be. He was led by the Spirit, folks. Only way, listen, you can be led by the Spirit is you've got the Spirit of God in your life. That's the first thing. Second thing, you got to be a student of the Word. Student of the Word. To study the Word, to know the Word, to read the Word. To memorize the Word, to meditate upon the Word, to live the Word of God. It's how the Spirit speaks to us through the written Word of God. An understanding of it. To see how God works, how God moves. Let me ask you a question. This past week, with all the announcements and all the things, were you led by the Spirit or were you led by the flesh? The last time something uncertain was happening, Spirit or the flesh? And I want to tell you this. I believe this with all my heart. I'm your pastor. Would never ever want to lie to you. I'm going to say this. Jesus loves you. And he is leading you. Don't miss it. Be in tune with it. He was in tune with it. You know, it goes, and this for Paul, it happens to him in every area of his life, not in just the missionary journey. Hold your place here and go to Galatians chapter 5. Just want to just share with us really, really quick. It's a familiar verse to us here. Galatians chapter 5. And I want you to notice, if I can find it myself, verse 16. This is what he tells the Galatian church. Walk by the Spirit, and you'll never, ever carry out the desire of the flesh. Let me just say this. When you carry out the desire of the flesh, and everyone in this has done that, did it bring peace?
to respond to something by the flesh? Did it? Did an outburst of anger? Did a movement from a lustful thought to an action? Did greed, did any of these things that he's going to say, did that really bring the peace you were looking for? She's saying no. I don't see anybody else shaking their head. No. It didn't. Walk by the Spirit, you won't carry this out. You won't carry it out. And I want you to notice the things that people run after to find peace. They run after immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissension, factions. Folks envy, folks get drunk, folks carouse, and things like these, of which I forewarn you that, as I have forewarned you, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But listen, if you walk by the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit's going to come out of your life. You're going to be walking by it, leaning by it, and all of a sudden you're going to have love. You're going to have joy. Oh, peace, it comes. It comes like a river. You'll be patient in that moment. Kind in that moment. Good and faithful, gentle, self-controlled. And he says this, verse 24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus, they've crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Be led by the Spirit, folks. Be led by the Spirit. Let me tell you, to look at what Paul did, to look at how what Paul walked, to have the example of Paul, he followed the Holy Spirit. Go back to Acts 16, and I want you to notice another thing. We're going to look at verses 16 through 34. And we're going to run really quick. It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us. She was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. And following after Paul and us, she kept crying out saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. Now she continually did this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out of her that very moment. Isn't that interesting? Was this woman saying the right thing? Everybody say, yeah. These guys are for the servant of the Most High. They're declaring you to you the only way to salvation. I mean, you can read that and say, what a great word. Let me just say this. When it gets excessive in people's heart, or and you're just thumping it, and 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 thumping it, you become annoying. We become annoying people. I gotta say it, gotta say it, gotta say it, gotta say it. No, you gotta live it, gotta live it, gotta live it, gotta live it. This gal has a demon, and I'm not saying everybody thumps has got a demon, okay? But she sure did. All of a sudden, this demon's out, and this gal had ability from the dark realm, from the darkness, the powers of darkness, to be able to tell, give a fortune or two. And these guys made money off of them. And now they don't have money anymore. And so what do? They get mad. And they throw them into prison, and they beat them. And at verse 20, they brought them to the chief magistrate. These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which is not lawful for us to accept. And the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they struck them with many blows, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Let me tell you, when you move into that kind of persecution, make sure you're listening to the Spirit. Matter of fact, when you're not going into that kind of persecution, make sure you're listening to the Spirit. The Spirit of the living God wants to lead you. But now there's something more that's happening. He's just gotten beaten with rods. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that he was beaten with rods 3 times. 5 times with the cat of nine tails. That's 8 events. 3 nights he was shipwrecked. That's 11 events. In the night and the day on one of those shipwrecks, he spent the day in the sea. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I'd be kind of anxious. I think anxiety would be all over me. But we're learning from Paul, filled with the Spirit of God. Because look what the next verse says. Just been beaten. They're preaching the gospel. And all of a sudden, I'm going to tell you this, because of the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, at midnight they start praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and these prisoners are listening to them, and suddenly there comes a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison house was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Don't harm yourself, we're here, we're not leaving, we're not escaping." Called for the lights, rushed in, trembling with fear. He fell down before Paul and Silas, and after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to have what you have? I beat you tonight. I put you in the sewer tonight. And at midnight, you're going to praise this God? Tell me, who is this God that would give you such peace? And who would allow you and cause you to watch my back? Because if you'd escaped, they would have killed me. What must I do to have what you have?" What do they have? Well, they had Jesus. But who's Jesus? He's the Prince of Peace. He is. And just this whole dependency on God is so, so important today. To depend on Him in the midst of uncertainty, of circumstances that are hard, that are difficult. And here it is, follow the Holy Spirit. This is what Paul did. And then Paul worshipped and praised, even in his hardest trial. He worshipped God. And God did something awesome. So, well, what if they had died that night? I would say to you, God did something awesome for that night. Because once they get into the presence of God, you and me, we don't ever want to come back. You can bank that. I don't know that by experience, but I know that by the Word of God. I know that. That's where we get peace, folks. Led by the Spirit. Right? Led by the Spirit, worshiping Him, even in the hardest day. Because I want to tell you, that's what God will do. That's how the Spirit of God will do. Do you remember when Job lost everything? What did he do? He worshiped. He worshiped. Worshiped. And God says to Satan, "See, I told you so. I told you he'd worship. When you or whatever happened to him, he worshiped." This is what Paul does. This is the Spirit of God. Listen, the Spirit of God, he's the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, because he's God. And so follow the Holy Spirit. Worship and praise him, even in your hardest trial. And here's the third thing. Receive and walk by God's grace. That's what Paul did. You know, it's really interesting. I'm going to ask the praise team to come on up right now. I'm going to finish with this. But come on, I want to do an invitation for you guys today. And I want you to go, but right now I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Do you remember the 13 events I just spoke of about Paul's life in chapter 11? Look what happened, what he says in chapter 12, verse 7. "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger, quite literally, an angel of Satan, to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. And concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me." Paul the demon chaser. Paul the healer. Paul who could operate as an apostle, one moment a prophet another. Speak the word of God, people come, right under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
I implore the Lord three times that it might leave me. This is what I want you to do. I want you to do this. I want this thorn in the flesh to leave me. And God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power, watch, the power of Christ may dwell in me. Now, some of us read this and we say, no thank you to the power of God that dwells in me, because I want my carton here to be really comfortable. That's a tendency for all of us. What does Paul say? Paul doesn't rebuke God for saying this. He says this. He says, most gladly, therefore, I'd rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I'm well content with weaknesses. Watch, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm really strong. That's what he says. Listen. The guy that's being led by the Spirit of God, right? I mean, being led. He's being led by the Spirit of God. He's receiving what God wants for him. He's receiving the things of God in his life. I mean, this is his example to us. And I think about all that he does and all that he's been through. I mean, even when he's going through it, he's worshiping God. But here on this one, he's saying, God, look, I've been praising you, but I'm going to ask you, will you take it away? Will you take it away? Will you take it away? And God said, wait, my grace is sufficient. Oh, if you're going to say it that way, thank you for the trial. Thank you for the difficulty. Because I know that when I am weak, you can work through me to be so strong. Yeah, such a strength. Such a life. When is the last time in your trial that you ask God, lead me, I'll worship you, and your grace is sufficient for my need right now. Your grace is sufficient for my need right now. So that Lord, in the insult, I'll find my weakness and I'll find your strength. In my distress, I'll find my weakness and your strength. And then when I find, you're in persecution, when I find my weakness in this, I'll know I can depend on your strength. And when I've got a difficulty going on, when the hail is coming, whatever the thing is, Lord, I'm weak here, but Lord, I know that I'm strong and I can breathe. I can breathe again. I can let it out and let the grace of God move me. Form me. Fashion me. The grace of God that instructs you, according to Titus chapter 2, it instructs you to deny ungodliness, worldly desires, and to live righteously and godly and sensibly in this present age. I want to ask the question about Tuesday night or any other night. Did I live godly that night? Did I live godly through when I lost my inheritance to my brother or to my sister? Did I find the grace? Did I find the power of God to get through it? I'm asking for an invitation today because I think of a message like this might be inciting something in you to walk away from the fear and the anxiety and the stress that you've been walking in about whatever you've been walking in. And then maybe you need to come and just lay it on the altar. Or maybe you need to speak to a staff person who'll be up here in just a second when we start praying, singing. And they'll be up scattered across. What are you worried about? What are you fearful of? Church, let's lay it on the altar today. Let's just lay it on the altar. Be led by the Spirit. Worship Him. I read it this morning. He said, my times are in your hand. I'll trust in you. That's what he says, Psalm 31.
You are my God. I trust in you. My times are in your hand. Oh, I need to start declaring that. Maybe that's what you need to do today. Let's stand together. Let's pray. You might want to start coming to the altar right now. I'm going to ask staff just to kind of be available in the front row, if you would. If you need to come and kneel at this altar, you come on. You come right now. If you need somebody to talk to, right now you come. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that as we sing this invitation and that as we respond to it, that you'd be glorified and that you'd be honored, and the people that would come to lay whatever they need to lay down to find the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. To know that there's an example that we can follow in the very example of Paul. Father, you said if we do that, the peace of God would be with us. So I pray peace of God on this congregation today. Your congregation, your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.